you know? Because each station has different promo teams.
Mike, we do have something.
Oh.
What's that noise?
Oh, I hope it's what I think it is.
It is.
On the hotline?
On the hotline right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the Netflix show, The Cabin, please welcome our friend Bert Kreischer. Hello?
Hey!
What's up, buddy?
Not much. What are you doing?
I wanted to call you, but I didn't know what part of the world you were in.
No, I'm in L.A. today. We did Two Bears, One Cave live event last night.
Oh, everybody, we already got calls about it today.
Dude, it was literally off the rails.
Can you explain? Like, I only saw the video of you leaving while the hot blonde girl was walking you guys out, and then I saw people tweeting me about it last night, but I don't really know what happened.
So Segura says, we're doing a live event, right? $10 that you can tune in live. And he goes, but it can't just be the podcast. We got to bring extra stuff. So we played a tennis match and filmed that. And he's like, I don't think that's enough extra content to value $10.
Right.
So I go, let's go to a dominatrix. So he's like, well, and do what? And I said, we'll get her to torture us. Dude, it was, I mean, Cal, it's old school radio. Like, I mean, like, remember the stuff we used to do back in the day when we all got naked and had our wives jiggle our junk? It was old school radio. It was so hilarious. It starts with us getting spanked and nipple clamps and like, demeaned. And then she goes, she says privately, she goes, I have a machine that can electrocute you. And I said, can you put it on her junks? And she goes, actually, I have two sleeves. I can put them both on your junk.
Oh.
And we're like, you can put both our junk on this electrocution, and you can electrocute us at the same time? And she's like, yes. And Tom's like, no. And I go, yes.
Yeah.
And we stare each other in the eyes. And Tom's saying to me, he's like, Bert, we are successful comedians with careers. We don't need to do this. And I was like, Tom, we're doing this. And it was the funniest damn thing you've ever seen. And then the live event, Tom got like my favorite porn star, this guy Owen Gray, is
a guy.
Your favorite porn star is a guy?
Of course it's a guy. I don't want to talk to a girl. And so he gets Owen Gray on, and then he got Sean Evans on from Hot Ones, and we got wasted. We played a drinking game. It was the funnest event that I've ever been a part of. And it was so chaotic. It lasted like 2.5 hours. We were blackout drunk by the end. I have no recollection of leaving that studio, but my favorite moment ever is we're doing an interview with this guy Owen Gray, and I said to Tom, I texted Tom on my phone, and I slided to him, I said, ask him if we can see his junk. Uh-huh. And Tom's like, shakes his head no, and I go, yes. So we get done the interview, I go, Owen, he's got pretty big package on him. Uh-huh. So I go, Owen, can we see your junk? And he goes, now? And we're like, yeah, please. And he goes, well, I'm just sitting in sweatpants. It's not like, you know, prepared. And we're like, yeah, that's kind of what we want to see.
Yeah.
It at work. And he goes, fine. And he stands up, and it is 9 inches. And we're like, what the?
Unprepared? Unerect?
Unprepared in sweatpants. And we're like, lose our minds. Best moment. I mean, I cried. I cried in the podcast. Like, we were doing an interview with Sean Evans, and I got emotional.
Okay, can I ask you about that real quick?
Yeah.
Okay, so we started talking about this morning. I love The Cabin. I've been talking about it for 3 days. I love it. I think it is perfect. It is the perfect. If you said, show me something that tells me how funny Bert is, this is the best thing you've ever done. But one thing that I don't understand is I know you for 20 years now. I know your family. I know your sister. I know your sisters. I know your parents. I know your father to be nothing but proud and supportive of you since I know him. Why do you feel like you're still chasing the endorsement of your father? Like, you have to know that it's clear that your father loves you. You guys say I love you to each other more times than any family I've ever seen. And yet, he's constantly bragging about you. He goes to your shows. It's like almost like you're still not sure that he's proud of you.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's so funny. He sent me a text this morning affirming how proud he is of me. It's weird because I think we had, I think we had some, you know, it's interesting too, is that I'm going through this with Georgia right now, is that I'm parenting the same way my dad parented me. And it's loving, but it's this stern loving. Like, my dad's love for me was always like, hey, you're messing up. I need to fix this because I don't want you to be hurt. And I'm doing the exact same thing with Georgia. And I think it's just something that I'm always going to strive to make my dad proud. Like, that's the thing that defines me, as approval from him. And by the way, I'm sure there's a therapist that could go, oh, that also defines your right relationships with, that was probably what was wrong with me and Jay Moore.
Yeah.
And why we couldn't be friends was that I was looking for approval from him as opposed to friendship. And you're never going to get that from a friend who just wants a friend. And then maybe he leveraged that, what he knew that I was needing, for something else. And so I'm sure there's a therapist that could pick this apart. But yeah,
I was just having,
just caught me off guard.
I thought that episode was very good, and I thought it was not as funny as the other ones, but as good to watch. And the idea, though, that I know you so long, and that I know your father, and I know how your father feels about you, that you still feel like you don't have his approval, is amazing to me, because you know you do, and I know you do, and everybody knows you do, but yet you still feel like you don't. That's awkward to me. Also, I feel the opposite way about my son. I feel like my son does not care if I approve of anything he does. Like, he just, I don't think my approval of what he does, I don't think it matters to him at all, at least not yet.
Oh, it's Georgia is, does, could care less about my approval at, right. For the slightest. I mean, right. Literally, I'm struggling with that relationship right now, because she's just turned a corner at 16 where you're like, I feel like a needy boyfriend. Like, yeah. I literally said to Leanne the other day, so I just got to act like I'm just not that into her.
Right.
And Leanne's like,
you
what?
You play hard to get, yeah.
I'm playing hard to get with my daughter. Like, so we're going to eat dinner if you want to or whatever. I don't care. Just don't even come out of your room.
The worst is, yeah. Joey, I said to Joey, I go, are you in a bad mood? And he's like, no. I go, did I do something? Are you mad at me? He goes, why do you always ask me? And I go, I don't know, but I feel like a girl trying to get the attention of her boyfriend.
We are such broken children that we parent as if we want, like, how we wanted to be parented. And our kids are like, dude, go get your own room.
Yeah.
I was going to say, do you guys not remember being teenagers and not wanting to be around your parents at all?
No, I did not want to be around my mother until I was in my 20s. And my mother was young and she was always cool. And my dad wasn't really around. So when he was around, he was super cool. So I don't, you know.
Oh, the second I got a car, I was never home. I'd be home at like 9 o'clock because that was my curfew to go to bed. And that was it.
I'm telling you, bro.
Our kids, like, this is what I go, you got like a really cool dad. Like, why wouldn't you want to, like, I'm cool. Like, other kids want to hang out with me.
Yes.
Like people want to hang out with me and you could care less. Like I said to her, I said, hey, why don't you, like, I want to take you and your friends in the fall, in the winter when things start opening up. I'm going to throw you and two of your friends on my tour bus with us. And when we do shows, on off days, we're going to go and look at colleges. And she was like, nah. And I was like, what do you mean, nah? Like, what kid gets the opportunity to get on a tour bus with their dad and a bunch of cool comics and go and tour colleges? And by the way, you know that the colleges that I'll reach out to are going to be like, oh, my God, Bert Kreischer's coming to our campus.
Right.
Let's roll out the red carpet. You want to see the stadium on the 50-yard line? Come on, Bert. Like, I get that anyway when I go, and I'm not even bringing someone that might go to school at these colleges. And she's like, I don't know, Dad. I'm just going to look online. I go, look online?
Oh. That's, I mean, could you imagine when we were kids, if somebody would have said like that to us? Like, I always tell Joey, I'm like, Joey's playing football now. And I go, you realize, like, if you need to play football, I can call. Like, if you're playing defense, I can call Warren Sapp and be like, hey, can you show my son a couple of things? And he'd be like, that's cool. I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I just always think of there's a picture of Slayer at the Grammys, and the lead singer is posing for a picture, and you see his daughter in the background rolling her eyes. Like, doesn't matter how cool you are, your kid doesn't think you're cool.
Yeah.
That is so.
She was in, there's this chick on Instagram that I'm friends with. Her name's Hannah Stocking. Mm-hmm. And she's really big. She has like 18 million followers or something. Jeez. But she's really big, especially with like George's group of friends. And I do something with her, and then she gives me a bunch of swag. I give it to the girls. And then I put a video on Instagram of Georgia in Hannah's sweatshirt. And Hannah posts it on her feed and is like, oh my God, so cute. Love this girl. Love this outfit. And I'm like, yo, George, you're on Hannah Stocking's feed. And she's like, okay. I was like, hold on. Like, I am excited to be on Hannah Stocking's feed.
Right.
Like, you don't care? She's like, eh. She goes, I can't accept those followers anyway, so I don't know them, whatever. And you're like, oh my God.
Boy, I'm not looking forward to my daughter being a teenager, because right now she's perfect.
Oh, bro. Oh, yeah. I think
what? Tim Allen just called us?
Isla is different in that Isla is... I think I might just raise Isla differently from here on out. Yeah. And raise her like Grey Gardens, where I go, hey, you're never going to leave the house. We're just going to hang out together, and you're not going to see the outside world. I don't want you to meet anyone. Don't leave. Don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Because I don't like what's happening with your sister.
My daughter really gave me a little bit of hope yesterday. We're at Joey's football game, and she was tired. She's like, can I sit on your lap? And I was like, yeah, of course. So she did the sleepy climb up to me, and she nestled up to my head, and I was like, this is the best feeling in the whole world. And then she ripped a huge fart on my leg. And I looked at her, and she started laughing, and then she left. The only reason she pretended to climb on my lap was so she could fart on me. And I was like, that is my daughter forever.
My connection with my girls is they call my bed the cuddle dungeon.
And they're like,
and they're like, we're not even going. Because I always go, hey, you guys want to cuddle with me? And they're like, we're not getting in the cuddle dungeon.
Now, do they call that cuddle dungeon in the court documents?
Yeah.
Or?
So I always go, girls, who wants to get in the cuddle dungeon with their dad? And they're like,
So you have the cuddle dungeon, and Mike likes to force snuggle his kids.
Yes. I had to give Joey like $1,000 worth of PlayStation money in order to cuddle with me for 10 minutes.
I literally cannot get them to give me a kiss on the cheek or any, like, and I have to forcibly grab their heads and kiss them on the top of their head. They won't anywhere else on their body, anywhere, no cheeks, never a cheek, never anywhere on the forehead. It's got to be top of the dome, like I'm giving them a CTE scan.
That's how Juliana is. This morning, I go get my coffee at 7 o'clock in my living room in my kitchen before she goes to school. And I go, all right, have a good day. And she's like, all right. And I go to kiss her. And I lean in. She puts her head down and gives me the back of her head. I go, I don't know where this comes from, but this is what I got. I'll take it. Whereas Joey, I don't really want to kiss Joey on the lips because he's a man now.
Not anymore.
And that's uncomfortable for both of us. Yeah, not anymore. But I would if I would now. If he tried to kiss me goodbye on the lips, I would take it. I would take it in a second.
Yeah.
Oh.
But
bump mustaches.
Yeah, but every once in a while, I grab him and I force hug him because that's the only thing I do. And sometimes he'll hug me back.
God, I would. I can't wait to get to Tampa and hug Joey.
Joey will hug you.
Hug him too.
Joey loves you. Yeah, he loves you. He'd hug you, but I got nothing. And it's unbelievable. Out of all the people that I know, my connection to you is one of the things that made me kind of cool to him.
Really?
Yeah, because he started learning about you online, and then when I took him to see your show at the Tampa Theater, he really loved it, and that was like his introduction to comedy. And then he's seen Bobby, and I mean, but he grew up around Ralphie staying at my house, you know, you guys coming over, so he didn't really realize you were funny and famous until I took him to go see you do comedy. Now I'll catch him watching your stuff on Netflix and YouTube. And I, like, the night that I watched The Cabin, I was up late. I text you. I talked to you. I was up. It was like 11 o'clock, and I couldn't stop watching them. And I actually went down to see if Joey was awake because I was going to make him watch it with me. But the next day, he watched them and loved them. He loves Miss Pat now.
Oh, everyone loves Miss Pat. Miss Pat telling Kaley Cuoco, your show's horrible. It's corny. Jokes aren't funny. And I can't believe they paid you $1 million an episode. I was in the room with that. You could not turn that off. And by the way, that was edited to look nice. I mean, Miss Pat was brutal. Brutal. Do you ever think that John Ritter, the reason he died was that your show was so bad? And you're like, what? You're like, wait. Jesus. She was brutal. But she's so honest. She doesn't care. She really doesn't care. Because it would be the same way if it's the industry you're in. Like, she doesn't care. Like, Joel said something interesting that Miss Pat, like, rolled her eyes at. And he was like, you know, when she was 13... she had a hit sitcom and was a lead, Kaley Cuoco, on a hit sitcom. And what else could you want out of life? And yeah. Pat looked at him and said, I was pregnant at 13 and about to give birth to my first kid. And the guy was 27. And Joel's like, ha, ha, very different life. Very different life.
Hey, Mike, real quick, we got to do the bone bonus.
Oh, all right. Stand by, Bert. Stand by.
Obviously, this is all about money.
This hour's bone bonus keyword is golf. Text golf to 70123 before 15 minutes past the top of the hour and go get your $1,000. Powered by Achieva Credit Union.
There you go. Good luck. All right, Bert, I'll give you my favorites in order, okay?
Okay.
Miss Pat's first.
Yeah.
The Segura one is second.
Okay.
Which is a really close tie with the Bobby Lee one. The Bobby Lee, Donnell Rawlings one. Then the, I don't know, the Caitlyn Jenner and the Caitlyn Jenner one is not as funny, but it's still really good to me. And then the Anthony Anderson one was surprisingly good because he seems like an odd combination for you. And then Big J really didn't say much the time he was there. I like Big J, but he didn't really talk a whole heck of a lot. But you guys getting the Ralphed, whatever it is, I thought that was funny. I thought the whole series is great. Can you tell if it's been successful yet?
Yes, I think it's trending it's number six show in the country right now.
I will tell you though that I don't know if I didn't know you, I don't see it. Like I don't know how we'd advertise it. Like I'm trying to talk about it as much as I can because I know and I saw you post a billboard that they have the billboard in LA. But I don't know how else people would know about it other than hearing us talk about it or somebody talk about it. Like the more people we need to push this as hard as we can because it's fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's word of mouth. It's getting a lot of love online.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things that, you know, that's how those Netflix shows survive, is by word of mouth. And once it gets in the top 10 trending shows, then it starts catching, people start going, well, what is this? And I think, but once again, it's like, it's a weird show. Like if you,
yeah,
part of me feels like if you don't know comedy or if you don't know podcasting or radio, like that you would probably go like, what are they doing? Like, because it really is just us hanging. Anthony Anderson caught me off guard by how invested in being on that show he was. Like, he showed up ready to play, and he was like, I'm game for anything. And you know, I think Netflix wants, if they wanted to do a second season, I know they'd want bigger stars. Like, they'd want, like, Adam Sandler and you know, David Letterman, like they'd want big stars.
Right.
I'm not certain this show would be good with big stars, you know?
It depends because I think you would be funny with like Anthony Anderson. I know he's a bigger star. He's got a hit sitcom and all that stuff,
he's
but
huge.
Yeah, I know that, but and Kaley Cuoco, same thing, but I don't see them as they were unnecessary, even though it worked out, you know what I mean? Like the more, like you, if it's you with a comedian and you with one of these guys and somebody else, like it is, I don't think that's bad. Like you and Joey and Tom is perfect because you all know each other, but then, I don't know, if it's one and one, I don't think that would be bad. I would love, would you do a cabin again, or would you go somewhere else?
I don't know. I'll tell you this. I can't say names, but you can figure out names.
Okay.
We did one episode with two comedians and a celebrity, and then one of the comedians got canceled. We weren't allowed to use the episode, but it was really awkward. The comedians were great, but the celebrity felt like the comedians were just running buckshot all over her because we were just, everything was a joke to us, and we're just, and a lot of these sitcom stars don't know, like, not Kaley Cuoco and Joel McHale, but they don't know, if they don't have a scripted line, they're not sure what to say, you know what I mean? And they don't want to step on you, so it's kind of, you know, that would have been the episode where I think that if you saw that, you'd be like, ooh, I don't know, you know, if that celebrity was 100% comfortable.
You know, and to me, though, that was what made it so great. Like, Kelly Cuoco was, looked like she was horrified for a little while, although she made it fun. Like, it was good to see her in that. Like, I thought, here's this girl that probably is getting her ass kissed in every aspect of Hollywood that she goes to, and now she's on a set where she nobody, I mean, I'm sure they were treating her great, and she was only there for a certain amount of time, whatever, but then you have Ms. Pac crapping all over her. You're doing silly stuff. I was like, the fact that she's uncomfortable now is making it better.
Yeah, I thought so, too. I would, if we were going to do season two, I don't know, I was thinking about that today. I was like, I wonder if we did it on a boat.
And like, that's so funny. Boat.
Were you listening?
No, what?
I said that this morning.
Are you serious?
Are you lying to me? Did you hear it?
I swear to God. I said that to Skur last night. I was like, I wonder if we could just do a boat and pick different people up in different ports and then have adventures with them on the boat and shoot on the boat. That would be fun.
That's what I said. I go, the cabin was a great idea, but what if the next season's like on a boat or something? Yeah.
I think that would be great.
See, I should be writing for the show. I have to tell you. I started the show the other day, and I said to Galvin, I said, you know, when Bert does something, it's as a friend, I always have to be honest with him and tell him the truth. Nobody wants to just get their ass kicked. They want to hear the truth. And I said, so I'm going to tell you the truth about the cabin. And I don't know if he was surprised by it or not, but I was surprised by how much I liked it.
I couldn't
sleep.
You
I had to watch
me.
All five you episodes.
You texted me. I was on the bus, and it was the first day, I think, it was out, and I'd done shows, and people were, like, the network calls, Netflix called, and they're like, it's performing better than expected. We're getting a lot of love on social media, and a lot of interest. You know, we just got to keep the pedal to the floor and keep moving forward. We want it to do big. We'd love to get it in the top 10. We'd love for it to have a big weekend, for it to survive. And we're like, great, great, great. And then, but you don't know if it's good or not because you're not like, no one's really saying if it's good or not.
Right.
And then you texted me, and I got your text. I called you immediately. And I hung up, and I was with Shane Torres in the bus, who I think is hilarious. And he said, well, what was that about? And I said, that is how I know the show's good, because I go, this is a guy who has been brutally honest with me every time I do something. Like, every time. He goes, what do you mean? I said, the reason, like, my first special, I said, what did you think? And he goes, are we going to be honest, or am I going to lie to you? And I went, oh, God. And he was like, seriously? I go, yeah. And I go, that text meant more to me than anything in the world, because I was like, that's the litmus test of now I can go on and do press and go, I'm very proud of this show. I'm very happy with how it turned out. My buddy Cowhead likes it. And we're good.
Yeah, you should be super proud, dude. It is fantastic. I said today, I go, look, your stand-up specials are great, and the last couple ones really captured you, but nothing captured the funny Bert like this show has.
That makes me so happy. And by the way, they edited out so much frontal male nudity that I thought was going to be in there.
You really
Tom, I said to Tom, I go straight up frontal male nudity, and it's like, you know when people say I have a little junk, and then they're like, and it gets a comedy laugh. I go, this would have been not a comedy laugh, but like a I feel bad for his wife kind of laugh.
It is.
Oh, that's sad.
There's a lot of you naked. There's a lot of you, your butt. I don't know. It's just it's so funny to me to see you running around and doing this. I'm so happy for you. I hope this thing becomes huge. I hope they do another season. Now, how would you answer? I won't use any names here, but you might be able to figure it out. Like you said to me, how would you answer another comedian who claims that you may have not stolen his idea, but took it and made it your own? Maybe he was doing something like a comedy camp where comedians go camping.
I don't know. Are we talking about someone who's got a podcast?
Someone that has a podcast, yes. Someone that I'm pretty close to. I don't want to give out any names.
Yeah.
Who does?
I definitely didn't think of that as encroachment, you know. And sadly, the idea isn't even mine. It's not my idea. I got put into it.
Oh, I'm just. I, so, I'm,
it's a
I'm,
friend.
I'm teasing. I was hoping you would say something insulting.
No. This is a French series, The Cabin, Le Cabon, I think is it called, that we had to buy the rights to. And it's a French comic did it, where he took his friends to the woods, but it was scripted. So when we got the show, it was scripted. So we hired a huge writing staff. We went to script it, and we started casting in December. And the way it worked was we couldn't get anyone to commit before the holidays, and we were shooting January 3rd, January 6th. So we, without a cast, we couldn't script it. So we had a whole writing team there. We're trying to write scripts for a show that we didn't know who was going to be in it. And so we couldn't write anything because we didn't know. Wow. No one committed to it. And so what they did instead was, this is fascinating in my opinion. What they did was I said, script me ideas of things I can improv in, meaning like, give me activities like coffee enema, William Tell arrow shot, axe throwing, paintball to a painting. It was just dumb ideas. I want to do a schwitz where you get into the sauna, get in the cold, get beaten by bird's breath.
Right.
And so we had all these ideas up on a board. And then as the cast started landing, we would just grab the ideas and put them under who we thought would have the most fun with them.
Gotcha.
And so Cigar Rolling with an Ounce of Weed was Joey Diaz. Emu Take Dismemberment was Segura. And so like we kind of just like did that. And then we got in the thing with no script. And we just were like, let's just be in the moment, do the activity, have fun, be as funny as possible, make it as long as it needs to be. We'll edit it down. And the guy who created the show came out on set, and he's a French Canadian guy. And we did the coffee enema is the first thing he saw, and he was crying laughing. And then he pulls me aside. He goes, you are a genius. Like, how do you have all these lines memorized in your head? And I said, there's no lines whatsoever. And he goes, where are these words coming from? And I said, he put coffee in my butt. Like, I said what I thought. And he was like, this is amazing, the ability that you have to come up with these things. And I'm like, I go, it's not that brilliant, man. I'm just getting coffee up my ass. Like,
just a lot of screaming. The bees were great. The coffee was great. I'll tell you, though, the best real thing is the reaction to opening the cooler when the emu's in the cooler.
That was the very first thing we shot. And it dictated the energy of the whole show. They said to me, hey, man, we've got the emu here. Do you want to take a look at it? And I went, nah, I want to see it on camera.
Yeah.
And they're like, are you sure? And I think they thought they didn't know how I would react to it. And I was like, I think my reaction is what's important. The funniest is the butcher that brought it. His nickname was Sweet.
Yeah.
It was like 700, 600 pounds. And I said to him, I go, how did you get your nickname Sweet? And Joey and Tom looked at me, and he goes, because I'm sweet on the ladies. And Joey goes, are you sure it's because you're not pre-diabetic?
Joey talking, Joey doing what Joey does in front of that lady and talking about things that you can't do anymore was one of the best parts of the show.
Oh, dude, that was edited down to the stuff. Imagine the stuff he said just to make me and Tom laugh. We cried for 30 minutes, and then Joey called me the morning the show started premiering, and people started liking it and hitting Joey up and saying, yo, I've just discovered Mad Flavor. This guy's my new favorite guy in the world.
Yeah.
And Joey calls me up, and he goes, dog, you left all that stuff in? And I said, yeah. And he goes, oh, my God, this is going to be a hit for Kreischer. And he hung up on me. Dude, he was hilarious. I mean, his Superman of Cuba story
was unbelievable.
I mean, me and Tom, we got done and we were like, we didn't do anything but laugh at Joey. And you're like, yeah, but that's all you do when you're around Joey, is just laugh. And we got done that episode and I was like, how are we going to do better? That was one day, right? The next day, Miss Pat shows up and we're like, crying, laughing, and we're like, oh my God, this couldn't get better. And then the next day, Donnell and Bobby show up, and Donnell is, I think, steals the show in that one.
Yeah.
Bobby and I are lunatics. Donnell's reactions to not wanting to do things were so funny and so spot on, and like by the time we got done, I was like, I know we got a bunch of funny stuff, I just don't know how we put it together. And
I didn't really know Donnell. I knew he was, but I don't really know him before that episode. And he was great in that episode. So you don't have to know who these people are.
Oh, they edited out so much of so much racist stuff out of that episode. There's a point that I think they show a little bit of it, but not fully, of us impersonating each other's fathers.
Oh, yeah, they showed a little bit of it, yeah.
Oh, my God, that got so out of hand we were just shy of saying hate terms to each other. Like, I mean, but it's, you know, three comics trying to make each other laugh.
Right.
And, I mean, it was hilarious. And we got up and we're like, I was like, hey, man, I don't think I'm allowed to say those things on television. And Donnell's like, you're not allowed to say them to my face.
But let me tell everybody, for those of you who don't know, this is Bert Kreischer, and the show is called The Cabin. It is on Netflix, and I promise you it'll be the funniest thing you've seen in a long time. And I can't tell you enough how much I love it. I've been talking about it since Monday, and just go to Netflix. It comes right up. It's shit on the first page. If not, search The Cabin and check it out. And where are you ever coming here? I know the tour is still out, but you're not. You don't have anything in the Florida area, right?
Yeah, I don't know why. For whatever reason, they didn't do Tampa, Orlando. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think they may be trying to save them. I think Florida's opened up different than other cities, so they may be saving them for theater. It's like the first run of theaters we do when we get back.
Well, I hope to see you soon. If not, I might fly out to one of your shows somewhere and meet you guys out somewhere.
Hey, we're in Texas this weekend.
Oh, man. Well, dude, are you still outside?
We're outside. We're doing amphitheaters and some drive-ins. Tom and I are doing the Rose Bowl on the 28th.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
Yeah, that's going to be insane. And then I do like a little bit of a run in November, and then I'm done. I go to Prague in March to shoot The Machine, and that's it. And the Go Big show comes out in January.
What is The Machine?
You being serious?
The movie.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't know. I'm sorry. I gotcha. Prague as using for that for Russia?
Yeah, we're using Prague for Russia. And, I got a script meeting today with the director and our new writer. And we're moving forward, man. They're putting, I think, especially now that The Cabin's doing well, everyone, it's crazy, man. You think to yourself, like, what if no one had seen this? Like, what if no one's seen it and it really sucked?
Yeah.
And then you go, would The Machine have gone away? Like, ooh, would my movie go away? Or because the second it does well, all of a sudden everyone's like, the phone starts ringing off the hook, and everyone's like, all right. Like, I mean, it's crazy. We got a call yesterday because obviously everyone's now, because you're on Netflix, movie producers are watching you. They don't watch podcasts.
Right.
So Tom and I have like a top 5 podcasts in the world for the past year or the past 6 months probably. And no one's cared about it. And then all of a sudden they see me and Tom dismembering an emu on Netflix. And they're like, and I got phone calls all day yesterday from movie producers going, what movie do you want to do? Like, what do you and Tom want to do? And Tom and I have a road trip movie with Johnny Depp that we want to do. Have I told you that idea?
No, that's great.
Yeah. We want to do a road trip movie with Johnny Depp, and then we want to do another one called Fat Astronaut. Fat Astronaut. And, yeah, it's a good pitch. Hear it out, okay? They're going to put condos, like living pods, on the moon, right? So people can go move to the moon. But they realize that it really works better for fat people because of plantar fasciitis and arthritis. And so they're like, well, none of our astronauts have ever been fat. We've always made sure they're in shape. We need to send 2 fat guys out to space to see if they can live with all their vices. So they send me and Tom with a bunch of booze and marijuana and food and hookers, and we've got to see if we can survive. Oh, and so geez. In the movie, we obviously don't want to go home. We just want to stay there. We don't want to go home.
Right.
So we sabotage ourselves, so we're stuck in space. And then we turn, and you know, obviously, the third act, we find out we need to save the world, so we've got to get our astronaut ship back. Astronaut ship. What did I just call it? An astronaut ship? Our astronaut ship back to the space. So we've got to work out and get in shape so that we can make it back to the Earth.
Oh, my God. That is brilliant. That is fantastic.
And so...
Can I put in a request?
Yeah.
I'd like to be in the machine. I would like to be Igor number 7.
Done. We have a sauna fight scene, naked fight scene.
Yep.
And we've already greenlit that is where I will put all my cameos and of all my friends. And we are getting prosthetic junks so that everyone's got solid pieces on them, and I am just regular.
Okay. If you think that I won't fight naked in a shower scene, you're crazy.
It's going to be you, Segura, Joey Diaz, Rogan. It's going to be a fun group. And
I don't want to be next to Joe Rogan naked.
You're going to get a great piece on you.
Yeah, but it's like, what about I still have my belly?
Well, you got to start working out.
Well, put me next to Joey Diaz. I'll be fine.
By the way, I'm doing a cycle of steroids for the machine.
What?
For what?
I can't tell you all the secrets about this.
All right.
Because we're still working on it, but I have been greenlit to do a cycle of steroids and get ripped for the beginning of the machine.
Oh, my God, dude. It's going to
be so much fun.
I'm so glad I know you. I'm so glad I know you now this way. When I speak at your funeral, I have so many great things to say.
I can't. My funeral's going to be a blast. I just wish I'd be there.
You will be there.
You know, that's like the day. You remember when TMZ said I had a heart attack?
Yes.
And then my manager called me and he's like, "Did you have a heart attack last night?" And I was like, "No." And he was like, "Well, I'm going to call TMZ then to say that that's false." I was like, "No, you're not."
Yeah.
I was like, "Who doesn't want the day that everyone texts them to tell them how much they love them and go, I love you. I hope you get better. You mean so much to me." But all I got were texts going, "We knew this was going to happen with your lifestyle. I hope this gives you a warning to slow down. You have daughters. This isn't funny anymore."
How did you not see this coming? Yeah. Hilarious.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you called in because we started talking about you right out of the gate this morning about the show and about your father. And I've been loving the show all week. I've watched it twice now. The show is called The Cabin. It's on Netflix. And if you love Bert, or if you've never heard Bert before, and today's for some reason the first day you are, I promise you, you will love this show. Go and check it out. And I hope to see you soon, dude.
I would love, hopefully. I was supposed to go back to get my parents, but now we're just going to send the tour bus to pick them up, take them up to L.A.
Oh, they're going to ride across the country in the bus?
Yeah, my dad's scared of COVID, so he's getting in the tour bus and taking it. Ron's going out picking up my parents, and they're stopping at RV parks around the country and heading down to L.A. for Thanksgiving.
That's not that's a good run.
As I told my dad, I said, "You're going to love it." He was unsure at first. I go, "You're going to love it. You go to these beautiful RV parks. They really are gorgeous, some of them.
Yeah.
Have a cigar and a glass of wine, grill up some food." And I was like, and then I think they should be driving at night. I think Ron should show up at like midnight, get on the bus, start driving, and let them spend the day in a place where my dad wants to drive during the day so we can see the country. I'm like, you don't want to see it.
You don't see anything on those roads. Whatever. I hope they get there and have a great time.
And by the way, it's terrifying. It's terrifying to sit in the jump seat of a bus and go 70 miles an hour. It is terrifying.
A giant windshield? I don't need that.
Especially with Ron, who's playing hip-hop nonstop and rolling calls from all his pink toes.
Congratulations on the success of The Cabin, and I'm so glad you called in today, and I hope to see you soon, my man.
I love you guys. Thank you so much. Right. You know how much that text meant to me.
Well, I got to tell you, I really meant it because the show was fantastic.
Thank you.
Hey, I need two Bears hats. They come out yet?
They're held up in China. They don't come out until November.
That's what Tom said. All right, cool. All right, Bert, good talking to you, buddy.
All right, love you guys. Bye.
See you, man.
Bert.
Bye. There you go, Bert Kreischer, the machine, the king of the cabin. Yeah, we should probably end the show, huh?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Okay, tonight, hopefully we'll see you guys out in downtown St. Pete. 82%. It went back up. Bert inspired me.
82%.
82% chance it's happening.
Good enough for me, Michael.
This just in, Joe. 83.5.
Oh, what? It's going up.
How do you like that?
It's going up.
Check us out on Instagram.com/TheMikeHalta Show. On Wednesday, the 4th, Bobby Kelly and I will be doing the Calta and Kelly podcast live from Sidesplitters here in Tampa. Bobby will be doing shows all weekend, and I will be doing comedy with him as well. But on Wednesday, we do the podcast live in front of a studio audience. Get your tickets now at Sidesplitterscomedy.com. We were supposed to do the Land Cruise. There is no Land Cruise. This is the closest thing. This is the first live gig we've been able to do. Check that out. Anything else before we get out of here?
I think that's it.
Oh, you know, we didn't do it in new football picks.
Yeah, well.
Go Bucks. Bucks Packers. All right. We'll see you guys on Monday. Have a great weekend. Over, under, Spanish makes it back.
No, never. He dies there.
Wishful thinking, son. Wishful thinking. See you guys.